Welcome to the Atom Ventures podcast. My name is Bhairav Patel. I'm the Managing Director of Atom Ventures and Atom CTO. And today I'm here with Yvette Gray from Atreides Collections. Say hello, Yvette.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So today we're going to talk about debt collection and really explore what it is and try and take some myths, you know, debunk some of the myths around it, and also try and make it sound a little bit more glamorous and sexy. You've been involved with debt collection for a number of years. Can you tell us a little bit about your background and what you do at Atreides?
Yeah, sure. Well, I've been involved in credit management or the credit insurance industry for about more than 30 years now. I was very young when I started. But my career started in what was formerly known as the Exports Credit Guarantee Department, or ECGD. It was a government department that was set up a long while ago to encourage UK businesses to export. We were then later privatised. It became NCM, Girling NCM, and then we finally became Atreides. So my background was always predominantly looking at risk-based. It was working with the recoveries teams and also in like a special risk management area where we were looking after the high-value deteriorating risks and essentially just trying to mitigate the loss for the insured customers. I was then later part of the team that created our collection company in the UK. And essentially our first and most important function was to mitigate the loss for insured customers. So they had potential losses. Our job was to collect them. And if we couldn't collect them, then the credit insurance company would pay out on the claim. You know, our business has then evolved and we decided we were so good at collecting for our insured customers that we would commercialize the business. And I later expanded my roles into sort of sales roles and also program management. And now my current role as regional manager is basically to manage and develop the UK collection business. And being responsible for the business results and the people within the business. So you could say I've been about a bit.
So obviously there's, I wouldn't say necessarily a negative view, but there is kind of a different view of debt collection as in it, you know, people think of don't pay, we'll take it away, and someone will come around to your house, knock on the door and take everything out. Now, so that's not the reality. So what is the reality? How does debt collection work and how does a Atreides Collections perform collection?
Okay, well, yes, I have to disperse the myth that we all carry baseball bats around with us because that's not the case. But collection is essentially, it's all about negotiation and resolution. We work as an extension of our customer's credit control department. So collection really is, it's a skilled role and it's one that needs to identify the can't pays from the won't pays, which are two very different, reasons for non-payment. So my collectors need to be able to analyze data, essentially to look at the background of customer to companies, assess their financial situation from the information available to them. And once they've got that information, obviously make an assessment and be really highly trained in the art of negotiation. So we're always attempting to recover as much as possible, as quickly as possible. But quite often we also have to preserve the trading relationship for our customers. Because you know, getting new business is always, you know, a difficult thing for an organization. So, you know, customer retention is always very high, and very high on a company's agenda. But what we do find at Atreides is that we have that extra leverage because we are part of the world's second largest credit insurance company. Okay, so we have a big name, we have a big branding. And of course, negative information in the systems of Atreides will significantly affect a company's credit rating. So we also have that leverage to assist our negotiation.
So how does a negotiation typically work?
So, it starts with our kind of amicable case handling, where we will try and engage with a company. So we will use various amounts of communication, so either email, but essentially we need to get these people on the telephone. Right. And with all types of negotiation, really the key is active listening. You know, it's understanding The other person's point of view. And I mean, negotiation is trying to come to a resolution without giving anything really of value away. So it's really understanding the situation that the other party is in, but also then trying to relay the consequences of not coming to a negotiation, okay, and not coming to an agreement, really. So it's a lot about listening. It's a lot about patience, particularly in this current climate. And it's also about, like I say, taking the other party's position in place and really, again, coming to a workable solution that's good for both parties.
So it's basically a much very, very human.
Absolutely, particularly at the moment, yes.
So what have you seen? Have you seen a big spike in collections at the moment, or do people kind of understand that everything is a problem at the moment and are holding back, or has there been a big increase?
Well, there's two very different types of approaches, really. Some of our customers have actually increased the amount that they place with us because they are concerned that, given the current climate, that they don't have enough resources basically to chase. A lot of their customers are asking for repayment plans. They're trying to negotiate extended payment terms. So it's a very, very busy time for credit control departments at the moment. And some companies just don't have enough resource to deal with monitoring of these payment plans, following up with their customers regularly to make sure the payments are being made. So some customers have actually placed more with us, but by placing more with us, they're asking us to tailor our approach. So, they are asking us to be a bit more favourable, to come to more amicable arrangements. And because, essentially, necessarily, we want companies to survive. We don't want to take, forced action against people. Actually, we want to come to an amicable agreement. So there's some, so those situations. Other situations are where customers are a little bit more worried and taking a bit more lenient approach to collecting at the moment. So they are actually agreeing their own repayment plans. But also some companies are now investing in automation. So those ones that are investing in automation don't necessarily need us at the moment. So they've reduced the amount that they will place with us. For sure, it will come back because at some point things will get back to a level playing field and trade will increase and things will get back to normal. But they're just taking a bit more of a cautious approach.
So if there's a company, well, I'm sure there are many companies out there that have never really thought about debt collection, and they'll be sitting on unpaid invoices and they may have a difficult customer. So what should they do? When should they start thinking about engaging with someone like Atradius? And how far do you expect them to go before they contact you?
Okay, so typically, I mean, what best practice would look like is a company has their own standard credit control process, which is normally, you can go up to 60 days, 90 days, which is where they would normally undertake a combination of their own letters, their own calling, getting to know their customer, chasing, following up. Really, there should be a natural end point to that process. And at that end point, there would normally be some sort of clear consequence. And that would normally say, well, now we need to engage the services of a third party. That could be a debt collector, that could be a lawyer, whatever. But it's that escalation because, a company who is, and there are some companies out there who are habitual late payers, they get to know actually what cycle people will chase in. And they'll know, okay, I've got until letter three before anything will happen, so I can pay a bit later. So, but there always does need to be that consequence. So, what we try and educate our customers to say is once you get to a point, you do need to do something. Otherwise, people will know, yeah, they always say they're going to threaten, to take us to a lawyer or a collection agency, but nothing ever happens. So you need to have that definite point, and then you do need to escalate.
So when does it get to that point where, so one of the things I found very interesting when we started Avrium was that when you're looking at some of the credit reports, you can see some of the big companies, as you say, are habitual late payers, and a company like EasyJet had a huge number of CCJs against them, which obviously meant that they needed to be pushed to pay in certain circumstances.
Yeah.
So, how do you deal with that? How do you know when you should really start going to more extreme measures? And what do those extreme measures look like? And I'm not saying, baseball bats or anything like that.
Yeah.
But apart from the negotiation piece, when that breaks down, what is the next level then?
So the next level, I mean, once we've finished our amicable efforts, what we will do is we'll assess again the can't pays from the won't pays, and whether this business is a viable business to actually take further action. So that's a case of, looking at their financial situation, looking at the country, because we're not only talking about, we don't only collect in the UK, we collect worldwide. So it's looking at the various legal jurisdictions, looking at the cost of that legal action, the length of time. But also we need to look at the documentation that our customers have, because, you know, in some jurisdictions, you have to be very specific on the documentation that you have available and that you need to present to maybe a court if you were going to go down the court proceedings. And customers don't always know what that documentation requirements are in other countries. So again, that's really what we bring to our customer is that local knowledge. So we'll assess all those different bits of information, the financial status, the cost, the length of legal action, the documentation available, and the dispute, whether there is an accepted debt or whether it's disputed. But it, once again, there are other things that we can use to leverage. As I say, because we are part of the second largest credit insurance company, we may have other customers who are key suppliers into that business. And of course, by us reviewing our exposure on that business can often prompt payment. So sometimes you don't always go in with a straight bat. Sometimes you need to go around and you need to play a game and actually negotiate in other ways. But also the company that we're trying to collect for could be a key supplier. So it could well be that, you know, that we can negotiate some additional supplies on the basis of some increased payments to pay down the old debt. So there are various different ways to negotiate and get settlement.
So that's very interesting. So how many, I guess a lot of your collections are settled before they need to go to any more extreme lengths?
Absolutely, yes. We would always try and recover in our amicable phase, because we want to keep the cost down for our customer, clearly. And again, we want businesses to survive. And plus also, as I mentioned, the ongoing trading relationship can sometimes be very important for our customer. We will always try and negotiate and settle within the amicable phase.
So typically, what size of businesses do you work with? Can any business come to you, any size of invoice?
I mean, we've got lots of different customers, right the way from, a small SME who's got a very small outstanding, right the way through to multinational organisations who engage us to support them in all countries globally. What we've developed is a very different value proposition for each of those customers, because clearly, an SME customer who's just trading in one country or only domestically, is not really interested in what we can do worldwide. So we have got various different value propositions for each of our different customer types.
So if a small business is listening and wants to engage with you, what would they do?
So what we've recently been doing is we've also been investing in technology and Atreides Collections. So we realised that for our SME customers, cash really is important for them, and the speed of in which we can collect and the speed in which we can give them information actually is important. So we've recently developed our online proposition for them, so they can very easily sign up to become an Atreides Collections customer. It allows them to upload their documents very, very quickly. They can get a quote very quickly, a very clear quote to say, this is the amount of the debt, this is where the debtor is, this is what it's going to cost you. If we recover this in full, this is what it's going to cost you. Then they can upload their documents and hey presto, off we go and we collect. So, we regularly update the customer. So we drive up some proactive communication to them because, if you put yourself in the position of an SME, to a large organization, their small, maybe, £1,000 debt or £5,000 debt is not a lot to a big organization, but to them, that could be the difference between them paying their employees and staying in business and not. Okay, so so they need a very personal approach, and with our online proposition we've developed, it's a very automated but very personable also.
So one of the things that struck me when we were dealing with Avrium is that people tend to leave debt for a long time, and it can be 180 days, 200 days. I've seen. So, yeah. You know, what do you recommend for businesses? Because a lot of small, you know, you mentioned previously that there's a lot of companies who have credit control, but then there are many companies that don't, or are we thinking that, you know, their accountant is handling it or not? So what, you know, what are the key things that you think a business should have in place in order to collect on their debt, essentially?
Okay, well, I mean, it's really important at this current time. And I would always say, I mean, go back to basics, really. It's know your customer. You know, that you need to be using data and data analytics to segment your customer base. And you can use a very simple a classification of good, fair and poor customers. I mean, good customers, if we look at the COVID situation now, I mean, you know, you would be looking at good customers where that maybe the sector they're in is unlikely to be harmed by COVID, that they're able to continue trading, that you don't envisage, you know, any payment delays. Fair could again be a potential impact, and poor could be obviously be one of those sectors that, or one of those businesses that hasn't maybe been able to trade during lockdown. And then once you've got that classification, you can then you can have a different approach to each of those different types of customers. And I would say, you know, again, if we look at what's relevant at the moment, look at COVID, you know, for the poor and the fair customers, you need to be thinking about maybe negotiating increased longer payment terms, maybe. You know, you need to be perhaps maybe giving incentives for upfront payments. I mean, you know, maybe just by knocking a little bit off the balance of the debt, you can encourage payment, you know, a little bit sooner, you know, or make sure that you get paid that amount. And then, of course, you know, agreeing repayment plans. But what I would say, again, is that point of escalation, because businesses need to be aware that, you know, if a company owes money to lots of different companies and lots of different organisations, it's generally he who shouts loudest gets paid first. So that person who's constantly keeping in touch, regular communication, you know, if you're in touch regularly, but also take that human approach, you're more likely to get that payment. But if you agree a sort of payment plan with somebody and never follow up on those installments, quite often you might find that money goes to another creditor. So what I would say is, if you were going to agree something, stay in touch with them, follow up regularly. And if they default, there has to be a consequence. And that's where we come in.
So do you find that the longer a debt is outstanding, the harder it is to collect?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Yeah, without a doubt. Because generally, you know, credit risk decisions are made based on information they have available there. You know, a company's financial situation can significantly deteriorate over time. And plus also the length of time, you risk sort of time barring. So you risk your ability to escalate formally. But also, essentially, that debtor thinks you're not serious. You know, they've probably had threats after threats after threats, chases after chases. They think you're not serious. So inevitably, it does become more difficult to collect, yes.
It's interesting, actually. I had a conversation with a virtual CFO the other day, and he had, one of his clients was a funeral director. And the conversation he had with them was that, well, we don't mind if they don't pay, we don't chase them. Obviously, funerals are very sad occasions, but then you're running a business as well, right? So there's got to be that aspect to it. And I think one of I think the key things is that people don't want to chase because they feel bad, or that, you know, either it's one of two things: either they think someone else is doing it, or they feel bad, or they feel sorry for their end customer, or more importantly, they don't want to disrupt that relationship. So you've talked about this a fair amount around negotiations, but, you know, what are the kind of myths that you see that people have about debt collection? What are the kind of false narratives that they may be fed?
Yeah, well, I think the first one is that I think people are worried that they're going to lose that trading relationship. So, you know, they continue, you know, to chase themselves. And sometimes they even continue to supply this business, even when there's overdues. So, and really speaking, I mean, you know, you don't need to lose that relationship. But if we look at it, I mean, overdues have a knock-on effect. You know, I mean, you know, one company fails to pay another person, so they have cash flow issues. They fail to pay, so they have cash flow issues. So at some point, you know, this is a forever increasing circle here. And if we look at, you know, if you've got an overdue, I mean, somebody working on a profit margin of say 10%, that person has to increase the sales of you know, 10% the value of that overdue, you know, in order to compensate for it. So by having these overdues in place, you have to make your sales working much more, you know, more efficiently, and make your sales work much harder. And in this situation, in this current climate, that's very, very difficult. So, you know, we are mindful that the customers will need to continue with their own trading relationship. So again, it's that amicable phase. We have, as I say, got the means to escalate to a more formal action if necessary, but, you know, it's not really the desired outcome.
So how have you guys dealt with COVID? How have you been able to keep carrying on serving your customers? Because I, as we talked before, you've got the great office, which is now obviously empty. Well, maybe a few people in it, but...
Well, I have to say, I mean, we're very, very lucky. I mean, from day one, when we were instructed to work from home, our ITS department literally rallied round and provided us with the access that we needed. So we very quickly were able to move from the office environment to the home office. You know, we have teams, we're able to communicate, you know, very efficiently. But we also have a lot of automation. So, you know, for example, you know, I know that what some people have difficulty in some credit control departments is they're still operating on checks, or their letters are still manually generated. So you know, working from home is very, very difficult because you have all everything you need is still in the office to be able to bank your checks, to be able to print your letters out, to be able to post them. I mean, you know, we have a lot of automation. So, you know, all our activity is driven via email. We have, you know, obviously we have an online portal where both customers and debtors, more importantly, can actually make payment to us. So we're not reliant on checks. So a lot of it is transfer. And, you know, we've got things like this year we've launched our video. So it's another way of chasing debtors. It's a personal interactive video that we send to people because, of course, we know people are working from home. They're likely to be on their tablets, on their smartphones. So rather than just the conventional email, we send them a video explaining who Atradius is, who's engaged us, what the overdue is, and allows them then to click on the link and make immediate payment.
So that's very interesting. So is that just is that one of you, yourself, or maybe Gina that well, not maybe you, but someone in the organisation actually talks specifically about an invoice?
Absolutely, yes, right. Yes, wow. Yeah. So as I say, it's a pre-recorded video, but it allows the debtors to completely understand, and it's a bit of a more modern way of communicating. It has links in there for them to make payment very quickly, or maybe request a repayment plan. But what's interesting about that is we're able to capture the digital footprint of that company. So what time did they view the video? Did they view the video in entirety? Did they click through the link? Did they go to the payment page but not make payment? And by capturing that data, we can then change our own collection strategy to fit the debtor's profile. So are they then engaging early in the morning or towards the evening? You know, the fact that they've gone through to the payment page makes us think that actually they're quite warm and they could be paying. So then a call from our collector very shortly after in order to push that payment through, you know? So it's very, very useful way of capturing information and a footprint on the debtor.
That is very, very interesting, and it's a novel use of data. So have you seen, is that more effective? Do you find that much more effective?
It is. I mean, we're still using the traditional methods as well, and we've got, I mean, we don't replace all our communication with that. There's only a certain point in the collection cycle that we pop that in, and to certain types of organisations that we send that to. So it has to be used sensibly. I mean, you know, if you send it to the wrong type of organization that's not necessarily using that kind of medium, then it's not going to be. But we track the success, we track how many videos have been opened, we can track, as I say, how far the debtor's gone and clicked through the journey. So yeah, it is. Yeah.
So you've been in this world for a very long time. So what keeps you interested in debt collection? What keeps you going?
You know, even though credit management doesn't sound very sexy, it is very, very interesting because it's relevant. Okay, it's about balancing, you know, payments and receipts, which is something that we all do generally in our own lives anyway. So it is very relevant. But what I find particularly within the Atreides group, which has kept me very excited, is the people I work with, I have to say. I meet some incredibly interesting people. I've had the ability, because we're a global organization, to work with and to travel and to meet people in other organizations, and to also actually understand different cultures, because, you know, the way you would collect in the Middle East, for example, is completely different to the way you would collect potentially in Europe and then again in the US. So, and each country has their own little nuances. So yeah, I just find it really very interesting, and the people are great.
So the last question I always ask people is, if you could go back in time 20 years and give advice to your younger self, what would that advice be?
Oh gosh, if I could give some advice, probably just be a bit more adventurous.
But then you have traveled. You've traveled and you've...
Yes, I have. Yes, I have. Yeah. But I think I probably would have traveled more early on in life, I think.
Right, excellent. Well, Yvette, thanks for that. It's been very, very interesting, and it's been a great pleasure talking to you.
Thank you very much.